Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of Plugged In, a post-media podcast taking you down Canada's electric vehicle highway. I'm your host, Andrew McCready. Electric vehicles are certainly the new kids on the automotive block in North America, but with every passing year, the EV rolling stock grows and ages. First-generation Nissan Leafs are now a decade old, as are the first Tesla S models that rolled out of the Fremont factory. Older vehicles require more servicing and repair, and that means your mechanic will be increasingly fielding the question, do you work on EVs? The vast majority of electric vehicle repairs and servicing are taking place at dealerships, but that is beginning to change as EVs age out of their warranty. That's where the independent shops come in. But are they ready? How are they preparing to fix and service EVs, which present mechanics a whole new set of challenges? One of the biggest, the safety protocols required to work around high-voltage battery packs. To answer these and other questions relating to how your corner repair shop is preparing, my guest today is Kevin Fitzpatrick, the Senior Vice President of North American Operations for Opus IVS, a company that helps shops repair vehicles with diagnostics, programming, and live repair guidance from OE brand-specific master technicians. 18 months ago, the company launched an EV support program. Thanks very much for joining us today, Kevin.
Thank you.
So before we get into kind of electric vehicle stuff and the challenges facing the repair shop industry, can you tell us a little bit about Opus IVS? Is that how you pronounce it? Opus IVS?
Sure. Sure. Opus, we're a newer company. We're actually owned by Opus Inspection. They run most of the inspection companies right now, and most of the inspection programs right now in the U.S. So we are a number of different companies that have come together to provide a full service offering for our customers. So Drew Technologies, I think most of your listeners have probably heard of Drew Technologies. They were the first in the J2534 space. Autologic, which was a very, very strong, still is a very, very strong European scan tool with technical support. Farsight, which was a remoting company, Auto Ingenuity, which is a full service scan tool, Blue Link, which is another remoter, and Auto Tech Accelerators, which is a collision ADAS service, ADAS service that we have as well. So we brought all these companies together to basically form an offering for our customers. It kind of focuses around technical support, pre and post scanning, and to provide our customers with some of the best tooling in the industry.
Oh, okay. So it's outside of the dealership realm. This is repair shops. I don't know if I want to call them mom and pop repair shops, but corner repair shops, the place that a lot of people, once their car off warranty, they take their vehicles to.
Yep. Independents, national accounts, MSOs, when we're talking about the collision space. Yeah. So anything other than the dealerships.
Okay. So, and they'll reach out to you when they have an issue that they can't solve themselves.
That's correct. Yeah. So like, you know, when you're talking about today's vehicles, and, you know, especially when you're talking about hybrids and full electrics, these cars are very, very technical. There's a lot of technology inside these vehicles. So when you're talking about a general repair shop, right, maybe it's somebody that's been in the business for 10 or 15 years and they have a couple of technicians working for them. It would be a really, really lofty expectation for them to be experts on all the makes and models that their customers are going to have. Because remember, a car that somebody's driving today might be driving something completely different tomorrow. They don't necessarily want to change the mechanic they've been using for the last 15 years. So it's up to that technician to develop his expertise. to go for training. And in some cases, if he's not wholly familiar with the system that he's working on, if he's got a degree of understanding, he might plug in one of our devices, and then one of our factory experts will remote into the vehicle with him, and they'll work on it together.
Wow, that's really cool. And, you know, talking about electric vehicles, about 18 months ago, you guys launched an EV support program. So obviously you were getting inquiries as the so-called EV revolution continues.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we were working with on our Tesla product for quite a while. So, you know, when we launch a new brand, or when we build our expertise in a new brand, the first thing we do is go out and get some technicians, right? We get guys that have been working for Tesla, let's say, and in this case, some of our techs were there from the beginning, and they come work for us. We develop and make sure that our tool can communicate. We have the cable set required, and now we have our technicians online so that when our customers have gone out, they've gotten their training for Tesla, we have our guys, ready at any one of our four call centers that are able to hook into those vehicles and provide a diagnosis to our customers.
So obviously Tesla, I mean, this is all proprietary stuff, I suppose. So would you need to have these kind of tools specific for every single, like a Nissan Leaf, you'd need something different from a Chevrolet Bolt for a Tesla?
Yeah, but yes, in most cases, our device can communicate with all of them, because we have a very, very unique offering where we have all of the factory information is available through our device. All of the factory software is available through our device, which is pretty unique. If a shop, for instance, wanted to do it without our stuff, they would have to go out and get a factory tool or a factory subscription on everything that they're working on. And that becomes quite cost prohibitive. Now, you know, the interesting thing, you know, is that, you know, there are some shops that choose to go that way, but you have to have quite a bit of quite a car count in order to make that pay.
Yeah. And I guess that is most EVs, I mean, you know, the Leaf has been around for 10 years, and obviously Tesla's been around for that long. So those vehicles might be off warranty, but it's still such a young industry that a lot of people are still on warranty work. So the mom and pops, the repair shops, aren't really getting these vehicles yet. But I guess as the years go by, increasingly, they're going to. So you guys are kind of preparing for that day, I suppose.
Well, that's correct. And you know, right now, like I said, lots of the Teslas are off warranty. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of service opportunities with these vehicles as well. You know, if we look at a Tesla, I'll use Tesla as the example. If you take a Tesla and you compare that to an equally sized vehicle, let's say it's a Honda Accord, right? If it's a Tesla, you know, if it's a Tesla Model Y, or if it's a 5 Series for a Model S, the Tesla vehicle weighs about 1,000 pounds more than the BMW or the Honda. So when a vehicle has more weight, it has more wear, which means it's going to eat up tires, it's going to eat up suspension components, it's going to require more alignments in most cases, you know what I mean, just because of the weight of the vehicle. It's going to wear more. It still is going to require AC service. It still is going to require changes in the drive fluid, cabin air filters, all of those other serviceable items. So if that's something for your listeners to consider.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because, you know, a sentiment with EVs is, oh, they require less servicing because you don't have oil, you don't have combustion engines, you don't have, you know, the kind of complexity of a internal combustion engine drivetrain and everything. But obviously, as you say, the added weight and things will contribute to other things wearing out quicker than on an ICE car.
That's correct. And, you know, again, Tesla, which is the best example right now, probably just because of their car count, you know, just as an example, right? Tesla, like most of the vehicle manufacturers, they don't manufacture most of the parts on that vehicle. The parts that they have on a Tesla vehicle, they come from Ford, they come from Mercedes-Benz, they come from Hyundai, Kia, and believe it or not, some of the parts even come from Kenworth. On a Model S.
Wow.
So you know, and all of those parts, the steering racks, the AC components, they break just like they do in all of those other lower priced vehicles. You know, so you know, even the electronics, like the touchpads and everything else on those cars, they're going to go bad. And as they come off warranty, they're, you know, again, there's going to be plenty of money to be made repairing them.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how prepared do you think the average shop in North America is for the EV?
1 to 2. And like I said, yeah. I think that's probably being pretty generous. You know, I think like most technicians, and again, you know, I'm a senior vice president with Opus, and I've been working with these guys for a long time on the training side. But my brother owns repair shops. I've worked in the business for about, you know, all in over 30 years at this point. I can tell you technicians consider themselves pretty forward thinking. You know, if you get right down to it, you know, they're kind of stuck in their ways. You know, a lot of them are willing the electric vehicle thing to go away. And it's, right. It's just not, you know, and I've made this recommendation to a number of shops in the last year or two. And all of them, every one of them has come back to me and said, you know, that was the best suggestion you could have made for them. And I've told them, you know, what you should do is you should go out and you should get an EV charger placed in the front of your shop. Because what that is that's a broadcast to your customer base, you know, that you are the forward thinking guy. You know what I mean? And then you are inviting them, if they get that electric vehicle, if them or their children get that electric vehicle, you're the guy to bring it to.
Obviously the younger mechanics coming up, maybe going in through training now. I know here in Vancouver, one of the big colleges that has a great automotive program for about 3 or 4 years now has been integrating EV technology, EV fixes into the program. I guess that's probably happening in training institutions around North America right now.
Yeah, it really is. And like I said, especially as all of the vehicle companies, I mean, we all came up with when they were talking about CAFE standards, right? If you wanted to sell a Corvette, right, you had to sell a Geo as well, right? And that's why all the car companies have those things. So, you know, all of the manufacturers, they're all going to have a certain amount of these electric vehicles, you know, as part of their floor plan. So so the answer is, yeah. I mean, well, anybody who's coming out of a trade school or a factory program these days is going to be trained up on EVs. The guys that are out, you know, the older guys like myself, or, you know, we've got to go back and get the training. And it is available. You know, we have to start with a safety class, understanding how to properly safely handle these vehicles. But it's I think it's extremely important to not fear this technology, but to embrace it. I can tell you, when I got really dating myself here, but when fuel injection came out, guys didn't want to work on fuel injection. They didn't want to know about any of that stuff, right?
Right. Well, they became so adept at tuning carburetors and things. That was an art form, wasn't it?
Exactly. They didn't want to know about scan tools. And then, you know, a few years ago, it was the AdBlue fluid, right? What is this, right? I mean, it's always going to be something. There's always going to be some new change, you know, in direction that we're going to have to embrace.
Yeah, it's kind of adapt or die kind of thing.
It really is.
So talking, you just mentioned the kind of safety aspects. That's probably job one for a shop to figure out, with these big, large lithium ion battery packs in these vehicles, how to deal with that. Are there tools required for that, or is it more just the way you approach the vehicle and what you do when you start digging into it?
There's absolutely tools required for it, and safety equipment, gloves, clothing, protective gear that you have to have. You know, as a matter of fact, we require, if we're going to provide you technical support on an EV vehicle, we require you to have a safety certificate, you know, on file with us. We want to know that the technician that we're talking to, you know, has taken that safety training, you know, because you only get one chance on these things. You can only make one mistake. You know, we used to get shot, you know, by a you know, an HEI ignition, you know, and it was all fun and games. This isn't fun and games, right?
No, serious. There's a lot of voltage going through those things.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, the right to repair, I on the first season, I had a, I think he was a university professor that had kind of made his chops on this whole right to repair thing, not on automotive vehicles, but just on everything, right? So how big is that a factor facing shops and facing your company too?
It's been around forever. I'm gonna give my boss a quick plug here. My boss Brian Heron, he was one of the original authors of the original Rights Repair where it comes to cars. You know, because again, one of the devices we make, which is a CARDAC, that is the J2534 tool of choice in the industry, you know, and that standard was completely industry changing for the automotive industry. I mean, just saying that, you know, any programming or any information that you provide to your franchise dealers, you must provide to the aftermarket. That was a huge change for us. I mean, it was a game changer for us, you know. And now as the vehicles have more and more information that is basically sent directly back to the dealership. I mean, again, the game is changing a little bit, but you know, again, we'll just need legislation to keep pace with it.
Yeah. So that legislation that currently exists doesn't really cover the electric vehicle space yet. That hasn't been written into it.
It does not. And that's why we have to, like I said, like everything else, right? We just need a little tweak to the law, a little tweak to the standard. But I mean, it really is important because like everything else, you know, if the independents disappeared tomorrow, the roads would be clogged. The roads in North America would be clogged with broken vehicles because the dealer network could not fix them.
No, you know, for sure.
And they know it, right? They just want their piece of it. But you know, it's important that we're tooled and trained to fix these vehicles. You know, I don't think anybody you know in the aftermarket, in any general repair shop, is clamoring to fix in warranty vehicles. But you know, we'll take them 4 and 5 years old for sure when the dealers aren't too thrilled with fixing them anyway.
Right. They're probably the pressure will grow as in the coming years simply because these new EVs are still under warranty. But come 2028 or whatever, the repair shops are going to be getting, I won't say overwhelmed, but there's going to be a lot of people. I think it was really interesting what you said at the beginning about how you have a trusted mechanic, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And then suddenly everybody I meet says, oh, my next car is going to be an EV, right? Well, so that mechanic, you know, obviously there's discussions with the mechanic saying, hey, if I bought an EV, could I still come here? So there must be more and more on the shops hearing that they're realizing we got to get on board with this.
Well, that's exactly what happens. I mean, every few years, right, there's a car that becomes more and more exciting. I mean, you remember when Audi couldn't give cars away, right, in North America. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, I mean, it was kind of like the mid-sized Audis, the Jettas, the Passats, right? All of the Audi products, the VWs, they were everywhere, right? I mean, and all of a sudden, everybody's kind of figuring out how to fix these things. And 2 years earlier, they couldn't give them away. So the industry constantly goes through this genesis of these vehicles, right? I mean, look at the Korean vehicles, Hyundai's, Kias. I mean, come on, they're everywhere. And by the way, that company is they're not exactly forthcoming with their information. They're one of the more difficult vehicle companies to deal with. But
okay, right. And that's interesting because I was just at the New York show this week and, you know, Kia and Hyundai are kind of leading the way in many ways for entry level EVs. So that's obviously got to be something that's got to be addressed.
Yep, I completely agree.
And obviously, I mean, stepping outside of EVs, I mean, the advanced driver assistance systems we're seeing, you know, the LiDAR and the sensors and everything, that's a new whole complexity that's coming on. So it really isn't, you know, you kind of think of the corner mechanic as kind of this guy that just kind of has been banging away with hammers and things. But that's the old days. Now it's high tech all the way, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, it's causing, you know, there's a lot of cost effect, you know, that's required to fix these vehicles. You know, the biggest issue with on the ADAS piece is the space requirements to properly calibrate them. You know, some of the vehicles require about 1500 square feet around the vehicle, completely clear of obstruction in order to perform a calibration.
Wow.
Now where I am right now, you know, down in the middle of Long Island, most shops don't have that kind of square footage. So, you know, there's calibration centers popping up and,
oh, okay.
You know, it's, you know, but as we go, if we get a couple of years down the road, we're going to see more and more of these vehicles have more and more cameras and technology on them, where the systems are going to self-calibrate, you know, as you're driving.
Okay, right, right. Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. But, I'm not sure if I buy into these numbers. You know, by 2035, half the vehicles on the road will be EVs. Obviously it's growing, but I'm not sure if it will grow to that extent. But if we do come to a time when it's nothing but EVs, obviously these repair stations they're not going to disappear, right?
No, absolutely not. They won't disappear. And again, you know, I'm going to keep mentioning the New York thing. If we were to hit that day, and by the way, that's around the corner, right? I mean, when you're talking about, you know, it'll be 2025 in 2 years, 10 years from that, I mean, that is nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be tripping over extension cords on every sidewalk in New York City, right?
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's just what we don't have the infrastructure right now to support this vision of, you know, that they're pushing out there. But like I said, it doesn't take much. If 10%, 5% of your customers start driving EVs, that is a significant difference in your bottom line. As a technician, if you don't get up to speed on that technology, 10% of your customer base drops away because you didn't keep pace with it. That's a problem.
Yeah. And I guess word of mouth goes around. The EV community is in blogs and in forums all the time. So if you're a local shop that starts to say, "Hey, we're specialists in this," you're suddenly going to start getting a lot of business.
That's correct. That's what putting those charging stations out front now is for. That's the broadcast. Yeah. That says we're the forward thinking guys in town.
Have you come across any shops that are, or any new shops or companies that are popping up saying all we're doing is EVs, or is it not there yet?
There's a few. They have not been overly successful, to be honest with you. But, you know, there's a couple of people out there, because once you put that out there, it's kind of difficult to step it back, you know, and say, you know, we also burn petrol fuel burning vehicles too, right? So you have to be kind of careful with your marketing. You know, I think the best thing you could do is just kind of be a technically advanced repair shop right now with a large percentage of your customers EV. If you go all EV, that's a tough one at that point.
Yeah. And I guess with the, you know, talking about the new graduates or the young apprentices coming up, you're almost getting them to be your kind of in-house specialist, because they're maybe more open to the idea of embracing learning new stuff like this.
That's correct. Like I said, I think that, you know, again, depending on your car count, depending on your budget as a shop, it's not a bad idea to make your next hire to bring somebody in that's got some EV experience, right? And then you can start building a business around that technician. I think that's a much stronger strategy.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, last question for you. We'll get back to the company Opus IVS. How are you guys? I mean, is this something that, I won't say keep you up at night, but I mean, is this something that is like a weekly discussion, the EV space, the events that are happening to repair shops? Is this like really on your radar right now?
It really is. You know, we do webinars, you know, every month. And the last number of webinars that we've done, we did the BMW hybrid. We just did the Audi e-tron. We're coming out with a Ford Mach-E class and stuff. And of course, Tesla. We're pushing as much of the EV training in terms of seminars and long form training as we can, just because we think it's important. You know, a lot of the other stuff, you know, it's been, I don't want to say it's been done to death, but we there's no magic, you know, right now in the petrol stuff. There's not a lot of forward thinking or real different things coming out right now. But, you know, it's nothing that keeps us up. There's no magic in any of this stuff, as long as you're keeping pace and reading the material that's provided by the OEs.
Wow, great discussion, Kevin. I really do appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Kevin Fitzpatrick is the Senior Vice President of North American Operations of Opus IVS, a company that helps shops repair vehicles with diagnostics, programming, and live repair guidance from OE brand-specific master technicians. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Kevin. I certainly did, and I learned a few things too. First and foremost, it reminded me that the EV revolution is about so much more than just electric vehicles. Charging infrastructure certainly gets a lot of attention when discussing the EV ecosystem, as it should, but increasingly the repairing of EVs is becoming a bigger part of that conversation. Kevin certainly added plenty of insights, and clearly Opus IVS is putting resources and effort into making sure itself and its customers are ready for the coming surge of EVs heading to the corner mechanic. That's it for this episode. Thanks very much to my guest Kevin Fitzpatrick, my exceptional producer Adam Foster, and you for joining me on another electrifying journey down the EV highway. We always welcome your comments and criticisms via email at pluggedin@postmedia.com. For your dose of all things automotive, including up-to-date information on new electric vehicles in Canada, be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in breaking news, videos, and reviews. And be sure to subscribe to Plugged In wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode, and you'll also be able to listen to past episodes. Also, check out the other three great driving.ca podcasts: the Driving Podcast with Lorraine Sommerfeld, Truck Guy with Matthew Guy, and the recently launched Motormouth podcast with our own David Booth. Thanks as always for listening.